Rightly interpreting God's Word. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
What is Pentecost all about, and what did the apostles need to learn about God's design in evangelizing the nations in the Great Commission? We're continuing to study this great subject today as we look at the Gentile Pentecost from Acts chapters 10 and 11. We are so grateful that you have taken time to tune into the program today. We are at agradio.org, agradio.org. Please visit us at that website. You can visit us also on Facebook. We're always grateful to receive your messages. And if when you write to us, we read all of those. So thank you for taking the time to do so. And 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to the continent of Africa, many places across the U.S. and Canada. So we're grateful for this opportunity that the Lord has given us in opening a door for the gospel. This is part two of a message that we aired yesterday called the Gentile Pentecost. You can find that right online at agradio.org. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. So Peter walks in. Verse 24. Cornelius had called together all his relatives and close friends. This is a jammed, packed house. Peter looks up, walks in. You imagine this? There are now a whole bunch of Gentiles sitting there. It says that here. He went on in and found that many had come together there. I would have loved to have seen the look on his face. You got to be kidding me. You just wrecked my party. This is the reason the Holy Spirit said, and he's given us hints here, don't you go with hesitation. I know human nature, and the whole thing's almost comical. This is like one of you planning a big event, and you invite all the well-to-do people, all your best friends, all the well-to-do people you know that you're comfortable with, and you've been anticipating, and you've been working hard for an event and planning for a dinner, and the night comes, and somehow an invitation got sent to the weird family member you can't stand. And there's Cousin Eddie coming, right? And you're thinking, I can't believe he's here. What in the world is he doing here? And he brought his family. You know the feeling. You have to serve him. You don't want him there. But you got to do it. Listen to Peter. Listen closely to Peter. You know it's forbidden for a Jewish man to associate or visit a foreigner. That's not very nice first thing to say, is it? But God has shown me I must not call any person common or unclean. That's why I came without objection. How's that for a greeting for a minute? How else do you read it? You feel the attitude my party's been rained on. The reason I'm here is because God commanded this, but you know I shouldn't be here. So, why'd you send for me? Really? Later, when he tells the story, he knows why he was sent. He knows what he was called to do. What do you want? What do you want? See why I said Acts is showing us this great barrier to the Great Commission is often us. It's often our own attitudes, our sour attitudes, just about our own. Cornelius begins to tell the story. A man in dazzling light appeared to me, and he said he heard my prayers, and he told me, he said, send men and go get Peter from Joppa, Simon Peter, a man called Simon. So I did, I did, and here's the big moment. Therefore, I sent for you. You did the right thing in coming. So, this is one of my favorite verses here. We are all present before
God to hear everything you have been commanded by the Lord to say. We are in the presence of God, eager to hear the word. Everything commanded, Peter, speak. You see what this is? God just perfectly set the table, didn't he? Imagine this, ladies, you're having guests over, and you walk into the kitchen, and you're feeding all these people, and you've been running around stressed. You walk in, the ham's on the table. Everything's set, beautiful table. It's all done. All you have to say is, eat. That's it. Well, that's kind of what happened today, isn't it? Did God set up a pulpit here? We never would have made this up. You know, I know what I am. I would never be here doing this. Someone's not in charge. If you asked me today, you said, Pastor, what's your evangelistic dream? You got it. What do you want from us, Pastor? What do you want from us? I trust you all ask that question constantly, right? That every Sunday you say, Pastor, hurry up and get into the pulpit, man. You're taking too long. And I walk in and the place is packed out. And you say, Pastor, we believe with all of our hearts that we're in the presence of God. And that he commanded you today to say something to us. Speak, speak right now. We want to hear it. We are ready. Give it. Bible's open. Pulpit set up. God commanded you to be here. God commanded me to be here. All that's kind of contrary to staying up late last night and rolling out of bed this morning and saying, do I have to go to church today, right? Do I have to go hear Pastor Gordon again? Do I have to sing songs? Sing hard stuff? Do I have to sit through a long sermon? I can't wait to get to the section in Acts where Paul was preaching so late into the night a guy fell out of the window. You wait for that one. Now I'm going to ask you, who should your dream pastor be? Don't answer, I'll answer it for you. We don't want you to dance, Pastor. We don't want you to be uber cool, to get our kids' attention. We don't want you to come in here and tell us how to fix the world. We know it's a mess. We're tired of everyone telling us how to fix the world. We don't want you to worry today about offending us. We know we are in the presence of God, and we want you to preach what God gave you to preach. You see the greatest challenge in ministry today right here? We don't sense we're in the presence of God. Do we really believe that? The pastor doesn't take seriously the command to preach the word in season, out of season. And because he constantly lives for approval, and if you don't think I struggle with that, you're dead wrong. The people don't think it should all be taken that seriously. Here's my evangelistic dream every Sunday, that you'd say, let's start earlier, let's hear the word, and here's the moment. Peter, hearing this, filled clearly with the Spirit at that moment, begins to say the same thing that he said at Pentecost. Then Peter began to speak. Remember what Pentecost was all about? Men of Israel, Acts chapter 2, hear these words. What was the first word that came out of his mouth at Pentecost? Jesus. There were a lot of other things he could have talked about that day. He could have talked about having a lesson on how Jews and Gentiles should just get along now. And could have helped them with all the injustices the Gentiles have faced and the Jews. None of that was commanded. See, they understood Pentecost was all about preaching Jesus. So Peter begins to speak. Now I really understand. See it? The light just went on. That's right there in front of you this morning when he begins to speak in chapter 10. And that's how it's translated in verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand. Now I really understand. I get it. On-spot attitude change. God doesn't show favoritism. But in every nation, the person who fears him and does righteousness is acceptable to him. I thought it was only the nation of Israel that there are the upright and those who fear God and who deserve the word. So they should get this message of the gospel, but that's not true. I've learned something. God doesn't think like that. There are those who, without the law, do by the nature the things in the law. So let me explain this to you. You almost get the whole sense that this whole thing now is unfolding in his mind as he's going by the Spirit, training and teaching and speaking through him. I'll just summarize it because it's a condensed sermon here. God had always sent the gospel to the Israelites in the wilderness and all along. He had always proclaimed it to them as the way of peace, that there was a way of peace through Jesus, always. But now I understand he's demonstrating that lordship over all. Crucial point there. That lordship is being shown over all. John originally came preaching this baptism of repentance. It was a baptism that called people to look to Jesus. And then he came, and all of history anticipated this great moment. He came with the Holy Spirit and power. We testify. He showed his great power as he helped people, and he set them free from the, you'll love that little phrase there. You know this phrase. He set them free from the tyranny of the devil. Heidelberg 1. Confess it all the time. He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil and watches over me in such a way. It's just beautiful, isn't it? He's preaching this. We saw all the good works he did. He was setting people free who were in bondage, left and right, all demonstrating his power. He's the Savior. And now he starts to preach him as the righteous one. He does the classic three-point sermon on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That was his intro. He was the righteous one, but his life, what he did, he was good. He helped people. He cared for people. But then they killed him. They murdered him, the just one. And he went on that cursed tree. And through his death, God did what? Raised him the third day. Life, death, resurrection, right there. And gave us a gift. We all saw. We're all witnesses to this. So, as he preached this condensed message of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, Peter then says, and here's what he did. Here's what he did. This is what I get now. I didn't see it at the original Pentecost, but now I see it, that he gave us a great commission to go and preach to all and testify that he is the one all are accountable to. The only way. By which God will judge the living and the dead through him. This is the Savior. All our prophets testified. Now here it comes. This is just wonderful. Through his name, all who call, everyone who believes, all who by faith believe in him will receive the forgiveness of their sins through his name. Now that's where the sermon stopped. Right there. At least as it's recorded. I'm sure he went a lot longer. Peter could have said many things that day, but he shows us what the heart of all apostolic preaching was. The aim of forgiving your sins. Do you realize the pressures today to go off the rails with this? Oh, I just can't even begin to tell you. I don't say this proudly. I see pastors, idealistic young pastors, I'm one, having all the answers everywhere else in this never-ending quest, which we can never thirst to quench, for relevancy. Whatever is the popular topic of the day, that's what we're into. That becomes our speech. What are they doing? Pandering? Nope. Being pulled this way and that way by every wind of doctrine, every idea under the sun, everything is popular in the culture to talk about? Nope. That's not what God commanded. They knew that. We're in his presence. This is the heart of what we do. I mean, you can never talk about anything else. That's not what I'm saying. This is the heart of it. He commanded us to preach Jesus with the goal that people would have their sins forgiven. That's what you're struggling with. That's what you need. The principal design of all preaching the gospel is that men may be reconciled to God, and this is accomplished by the unconditional pardon of sins, as Paul also informs us when he calls the gospel on this account the ministry of reconciliation. Many other things are undoubtedly contained in the gospel, but the principal object which God intends to accomplish by it is to receive men into favor by not imputing their sins to them. You want to be. If therefore we wish to show we're faithful ministers of the gospel, we must give our most earnest attention to this subject, John Calvin. There's a tendency to leave it. And here's the moment I've been waiting for today. As soon as he says that and gets to that, to make the point for the church, as soon as he preached Jesus and it got to the conclusion of the matter, as it came to the heart of the matter, the forgiveness of sins through his name, all of a sudden, as he says that, the Spirit falls. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came down on all who heard the message. And they all break out, just like Acts 2, and now speaking in tongues. Known languages, speaking in their Gentile languages, the wonderful works of God, giving glory to God. As Peter testifies to the Jews, when he tells this story, he says, this is the baptism Jesus was talking about, right here. This was the aim. That God would baptize the Gentiles himself. Who am I to deny the outward sign to that? He just baptized them with the Holy Spirit. That's what that means. You just saw it. So let's give them the sign. Who am I to withhold the sign? The mission of the church, the great commission, was to preach the gospel to all. And it is by this singular great message, which what a sad thing if apathy has overcome us so that we're tired of hearing about it. The singular great message of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, when that is truly heard with eager hearts, pastor, get here early to preach it, right? That kind of heart. The Holy Spirit falls then. I'm not saying we're repeating Pentecost. What I'm saying is that is where you see him working to fill people's lives with the Spirit. This is what Pentecost is about. Imagine if we had the confidence in what we're doing this way. That we came believing when the gospel's preached that we're in the presence of God. I think of holy, holy, holy. Isaiah, the whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah didn't see it for years and now saw it. And that you're eager to hear what is said to you from the Word of God. And the pastor is committed not to tickle your ears with smooth talk. We got lots of smooth talkers. Then you'll see the fruits of Pentecost the way that you desire to see it. Of people who are speaking the wonderful works of God. As I've said, the greatest hindrance to what we're doing is often our own what? Attitudes. Attitudes. And you see it in the Jews in closing. They're not happy about this. What are you doing, Peter? You went to the uncircumcised. Those who were of the circumcised party said that. You went to the uncircumcised. And Peter tells the story. And Peter says, four things. He gave me a command to go. He prepared the people to hear. They begged to hear it. And the Holy Spirit fell. Conclusion, who am I? If God gave them the same Spirit that he gave to us when we first believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who could I hinder? How could I hinder God's work? When they heard this, they became silent. Can you feel the emotion there? They became silent. Wow. Well, so God has granted repentance resulting in life even to the Gentiles. So they glorified God. And that, I think, is the real punch of how the church is to feel this particular message today. Wow, God is doing this to the ends of the earth for all. That's how big the harvest is. That's what Pentecost is all about. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing, a great ingathering of the nations. We've counted down and celebrated this. That's what we're celebrating. This is the divine project we're a part of. The table set. God already set the table. God's already prepared the feast. You see it right now, a pulpit, a Bible. Do you have eager hearts to hear? Do you invite your friends? Do you? Or is it just about you? Do you trust God's power? Do you look outside of yourselves and realize the fields are white for harvest? Look up, says Jesus, look up. He told me something today, not in a still small voice, in his word. Go preach the word. Go preach my gospel. And all I'm saying to you today is what? Eat. Eat. Come, believe in Jesus. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I believe the Holy Spirit comes in that message. I believe he regenerates and gives life in that message. It's the message he's given to us in the church. May we in the Escondido URC be eager to take this message to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful section of Scripture. Consider what Pentecost is all about and the joy that you've given to us in the gospel. You've fed our weary souls today. You've given us a wonderful word. And as we've received grace, as we've received the Holy Spirit, so, Lord, let us desire all to receive this same blessing. We know we'll have to ask you constantly to change our attitudes toward the church, toward what you're doing, for it's often our own bitterness and our own hardness of heart and our own lack of care to receive your word that is often the greatest hindrance to the great commission of Jesus. Forgive us and help us and give us thankful hearts for the salvation that we have, that we would want to see it go to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.